Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Hello, you lovely people, and welcome to episode 156 of the Veggie World podcast. I'm Lars, and every Monday I talk about veganism, the environment, social justice, and all the steps we can take to make the world a better place. Today I'm talking to graphic designer Roxy Velez. Thanks for tuning in, friends. I hope you had a great week. Maybe you've even enjoyed the barbecue tips we shared in the last two episodes. It's been quite a while since we did an English episode, which always excites me beyond measure. And I've always wanted to do more English episodes, but the podcast doesn't lend itself too much to that because, of course, most of the people we cater to, most of you, are German speaking, and we don't have many people who just speak English in this podcast. So yeah, whenever the chance arises, I love to do an English episode. And this January 2020, so you know, the time before the world went completely crazy, I had the chance to meet Roxy Velez, an impressive artist and entrepreneur who lives in Berlin. And she has a very interesting and unusual story. And to be honest, she's the only woman I know who owns a vegan animation studio. So since I'm a huge nerd, I just had to interview her. And in this first part of the two-part interview, we are talking about her journey from Ecuador over to the United States and Düsseldorf. Yes, you heard that right. All the way to Berlin, how she became vegan and what set her on her path to found her own studio. So grab a drink and have fun. I'm sitting here with Roxy Velez in Berlin. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm super, super flattered.
it's very exciting because we got to know each other basically through the Planet Vegan premiere.
Yeah.
I think in last May or something even. It's been a while.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
And I didn't even really realize when you talked to us, like, yeah, we have a vegan animation studio. I'm like, what? So for the people who don't know you and your work, may you just introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
All right. So I'm Roxy. I'm from Ecuador. Originally, I left Ecuador in 2011. I grew up there, studied graphic design there, and then I moved to the US to study motion media design in SCAD and in Savannah, Georgia. And I was there 2 years. And then I moved 1 year to New York City to continue working like on an internship. And then I got booked directly as a freelancer in the same place. Everything was going super good. I was not vegan at the time. So, as a PT, because New York has so many amazing vegan places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I was recruited by this company in Germany a year after I was there. And I thought, no, because this is New York and this was a Düsseldorf.
Right.
No offense to Düsseldorfers. Yeah, my husband is from Düsseldorf.
But okay.
I thought, it wasn't time, but somehow it just... Somehow a lot of things, small things happened, and not to make this long, I ended up moving. Within a month, I had to plan and everything.
Oh, really? Within a month, you had to decide?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were offering to pay my moving expenses, even cover my cat expenses, because without my cat, I wouldn't go.
Right.
And, so that was super intense, switching continents, And I thought, well, it's going so good in New York. I can just pick it up in Germany after this job. That was 1 year contract. I thought I do the year contract, then I go freelance. And it wasn't so easy because nobody knew the places that I worked in New York in Germany.
Oh, okay.
And I was in Berlin and I had to start from zero again, in 2011. And this was 2015.
Okay.
And... funny, so we moved to Berlin, and as I was getting to know people, I met this freelancer, and she was super cool. She had this, like, chill party vibe. And I tell her, oh, we should hang out. Let's go out, eat pizza. And she's like, yeah, but I'm vegan. I'm like, oh, so you like salad?
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, I didn't even know what a vegan was.
Right.
Like, that's how alienated from the topic I was.
Even living in New York for a while.
Yeah. Wow. No, I remember my roommate saying, this is vegan. And I just thought she was mentioning something hippie.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, I was in New York, I was picking up all the hot dogs in the street.
Right,
like,
right.
Buying everything, tested. Like, I think that any vegan vegetarian that met me then thought, hey, there's no chance this person is even going to listen to me. I was so far from vegetarian, reducitarian, like nothing far. I was just like the absolute.
Just meat craving.
Yeah, meat and all the tested stuff and yeah, pizza, meat lovers, double cheese, everything like that. And hated salads.
Oh.
Hated vegetables.
Oh, that's a good starting point to go vegan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I met this animator, and so I studied animation. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I studied animation in the US, right? And I met her, and I wanted to be her friend, and I thought, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, what did she mention? And then I kind of looked it up, and then I was like, oh, vegetarian. I remember even trying to not vegetarian make vegetarian friends back when I was a teenager, because I thought they were strange and I could not order pizza with them.
Okay.
Like, I was really an asshole then.
Well, I would say just uneducated. I mean, you couldn't know, but
yeah,
not
no,
like
I know,
avoiding
but,
vegetarian
but
friends
imagine,
pretty
like,
harsh.
Exactly, like not friending vegetarians because of that. Like that was I was that person.
Wow.
And yeah. And anyways, this article came up saying that it's just as bad that smoking for you, eating processed meat. And I loved all processed meat in Germany. That was my jam. I loved it. I ate it maybe 2 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was shocked because I was a proud non-smoker, never smoked in my life. Saying, I don't want cancer, you know, people who are smoking should not be smoking. This is just not smart.
Right.
And then I started looking it up and I thought, okay, I remember a friend saying, well, if you watch some documentaries, you can reduce it. This friend was not a vegetarian. She had just stopped eating. She was a pescetarian.
Oh, right.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to watch some documentaries. Well, first I thought, I'm going to reduce. 2 weeks later, I noticed I was not reducing at all. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to watch some documentaries. This was a day before my birthday. I was turning 28. And so we got home, put the documentaries on, and I was done with meat.
Yeah, just like that, just from like the documentaries.
Huh? And I think it wasn't even any special one. It was like maybe Eating You Alive or like, I don't even know which
one.
One of the soft ones. It was really one of the soft ones. And, well, not directly then, but as we stopped watching, David told me, yeah, but it's not like this in Germany. In Germany, people care about the animals and they don't treat them like this. So we said, okay, let's look it up on YouTube. There must be something in German. So we looked it up and it was just as terrible.
Right.
And I was shocked, horrified. And David had to finish all the meat in the fridge because I was not going to finish it. And we did not want to throw it away. So he decided to go vegetarian as well, but he had to do the last ones.
Yeah. I did that as well.
I
ate like the last meat in the fridge I ate and said, okay, this is going to be the last one. And then make it like a very conscious decision to do that. Yeah.
We went pescetarian that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day we buy a lot of fish. Right. And it just came back to my mind, this friend that told me, if you really love animals, you should watch this. He sent me this link. Maybe I remember I was in school because I was making some little animation for against cats getting left in the shelter.
Right.
So he sent me this link, and this was 2013, so 2 years before. I remembered, somehow it came to my mind, he sent me a link. 2 years ago.
Wow.
And that was Earthlings.
Oh, okay.
And then I needed a lot of tissues.
Right.
That night.
I never finished Earthlings. I never could. I think I watched 5 minutes of Earthlings or something.
I watched 5 minutes of The Minion. Mm. I couldn't. I was vegan already, so I thought I don't need to do this to myself. And so we watched this with David, and it was really, really hard.
So David is your husband?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah. And then the cats had to eat a lot of fish. They were very happy. Mm-hmm. They were very supportive.
Yes, please go vegan.
Okay. Yes. Give me all the fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm from Ecuador, so there's a lot of fish in Ecuador too.
Okay.
And fish was kind of hard for me as in terms of meat too, because it, you know, I grew up on the coast. We have shrimps was the thing that I missed until maybe a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's no reconsidering after knowing what happened. To me, there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next days I was still, like, complaining around, like, how is it that nobody tells us this? And then, you know, and then David tells me, yes, and, you know, well, vegetarian, but, well, vegan, that's an extreme. And I said, yeah, this girl was vegan. Like, what is that? What's up with that? And I had told her already, I'm going vegetarian. And she took me to this vegan brunch. And I actually thought everything was super strange, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like these weird things, it was... I don't know, this place is not even open anymore in Berlin. But it was just really cool. And I thought, I'm going to look it up. And then I found this 101 Reasons to Go Vegan, watched it, made sense with David, everything with David. So that was cool because we did this together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to have his support. And then found Gary Yourofsky.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically yells at you, and I was already yelling at myself. So
right.
I don't really do activism like Gary Yourofsky does, but he got to me. So I think that all activism matters. Mm-hmm. All activism counts or reaches someone, but but he reached me.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go vegan, to reduce. I was reducing, and I had found the book of Melanie Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
why we eat.
Yeah,
why we eat pigs, wear cows, and love dogs. That
yes,
the one. Yeah, all right.
And I was going to Ecuador on vacations, and I thought I'm going to go vegan after the trip. So like, let's do this transition in 3 months because you know all the dairy stuff is so much, and eggs is also like hard. We don't buy milk, we don't buy eggs, but then there's the byproducts, or right. We still buy some cheese, whatever, and. And I remember, and we were going 1 month to Ecuador, and I thought in Ecuador there is none of this vegan stuff, so it's really hard to do it there. And on the plane, I was reading her book, closed the last page, vegan. I said no, it's not.
Shit.
No, I was happy to do it. I did have to break the news to my mom. She was already worried that I was pescetarian, then vegetarian. Then I arrive and I tell her. Mom, it's not happening, like, almost anything that she cooked.
Right.
And I didn't know how to cook because I was, after, this was a month. This whole story happened within a month. So within a month from being a heavy meat eater to vegan.
Wow.
Activist.
That's quick.
To angry vegan activist.
Yeah, right. I think it's interesting that you have these very specific steps that you took. It's like, okay, I watched this documentary that got me there, then this documentary got me there, then this talk got me there, and then the book got me there. That's very interesting to have it like so specific.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I was upset with myself, but then she just made me see that it was the system that I was upset at,
right.
Not like it wasn't really
it's
my fault.
It's not your fault. It's the system's fault.
Of course, I blamed myself for like a very long time still after, but I don't know, it just moved me there to the step of going vegan. So for me, Melanie Joy was the strongest because she pushed the hardest part.
Right.
Right. So
interesting.
all my love to Melanie. I love her so much.
So you were already an animator. You were in Germany and
yes,
you
and I was doing
went vegan. Yeah. You were doing animation. Like, where did you work? What kind of animation did you do? Did you look like? Because I think most people, when they think animation, they think Disney. That's everything right. They imagine. But animation, of course, these days is everywhere. So yeah. What kinds did you
Disney
do?
Disney is more traditional animation, right. And that's even another career to study. This was motion graphics. So right. Motion graphics design is more animation for TV, for advertising stuff. And you can do some 3D stuff as well, like Coca-Cola stuff. It's more motion graphics than traditional animation. Traditional animation is really like Disney, Pixar, and all of those, like for movie, heavy movies, and motion graphics.
So could you for the listeners who don't know at all what motion graphics are, could you like just explain it very simply what that is?
Graphics moving.
So yeah, so like everything like text based or like graphics or little 2D things just moving on the screen. That's all of that is motion graphics.
Basic 3D stuff right. And this right now in social media there is so much of it.
Yeah.
Like on the same stories even or on the stickers.
Yeah. Right, even the stickers on Instagram are motion graphics. Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, yeah. So what did you like? What was your process? You studied graphic design first?
When I was studied graphic design, I liked doing websites that move.
Okay.
And then I thought I'm gonna do my master's on something that is kind of animation related because then they make you do these banners for web.
Right.
And my banners didn't look like banners, but like movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like too long. And then I thought, this is going to be my thesis. And then I realized as I was studying to do it, I realized it was a whole career. And it's not something that I can learn in a month.
Right, right.
And so then I found this school in the US and they were giving some internship. They were giving some scholarships.
Oh,
international
wow.
scholarships. So I got a little scholarship there. So they teach you from the concept of why things need to happen and how to do compositing as well. That's also part of animation. So, for example, you film somebody on the green screen and then you got graphics around flying and text and...
Right. So what was it about animation that got you so interested, so fascinated?
I think the storytelling aspect,
mm-hmm.
that you can tell a story and you can add emotion to the graphic. Like the graphic gets more, the visuals get more emotional when they're moving.
Right.
And I think it's part of us that we assimilate more the communication when it's in motion because that's, our reality, that things are moving. There's nothing really static. So it's really great for marketing, but... Back then, I was 21. I was not really thinking of marketing. I was just thinking, this is cool.
yeah, right.
And I want to make things move. And
I think what's so great about animation is also that you have this very focused storytelling. That even with the way, like even a little cube moves from A to B, you can make it in so many ways. You can make it squash and stretch, and just the way that you animate it can tell such different stories just by the way it moves.
Yeah,
I think that's
the touch
so
of
interesting.
Motion.
Yeah,
and with emotion, for example, you got a little cube moving around, and you are actually guiding the eye of the person that is watching this to actually read. In that rhythm, or you move, you guide the reading eye,
right?
With the animation,
yeah.
And the speed, and you can you set the tone,
right?
Of a graphic as well, and then there's audio. There are like the sound effects when things
Absolutely,
move that
yeah.
add person that make it the cherry on top,
yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't study the that's another career, sound design. So at the studio, we hire a sound designer
right.
when things is happening.
Right.
And
I think I love animation. I'm so, and I actually, I studied acting, but before that I wanted to be like a director. And I mean, I was switching all the time and now I'm doing both anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I was going to, do you know the SAE, the Sound and Audio Engineering School? They have like
Where?
All the SAE.
Where
they,
is it?
They have like, I think like 70 schools around the world. They're like big in Australia, big in Germany and all that. And I was actually thinking about doing animation myself in Hamburg one day.
I can teach you.
But yeah, it's the thing is, that's why I'm so much into photography. I have so little patience, and animation requires so much patience with like, okay, the keyframes are not working. I need to tweak the keyframes here and there. It's like, I enjoy it so much. But the way to do it and everything that goes into it, all the knowledge of like the color schemes, like how does the color work into it? How does the wave the motion into it? How does the screen read? So how can you, you know, the framing, the composition, it's such a complex field, and I have the utmost respect for it. I think I have way too little patience for it, but I admire it so much.
And it's never perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, projects are abandoned, not finished, right?
I mean, perfect means never done.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta drop it at some point.
Yeah.
Until nobody notices that it's not perfect.
Right. Yeah. So when was the point where you thought, okay, I want to do my own studio? And when and how did you found the Vixquisite studio?
Okay, so I had arrived to Berlin, and I already had started building my network as a freelancer, just going to studios and agencies and getting called in for projects. And at the beginning, it's cool. It was cool because it was, you know, they had cool brands, Vacom and some car brands. That was not so exciting for me, but,
right.
It was work, and the people are really cool. But it came to a point that I was trying to make people listen about veganism while doing work. I was not really the best activist in those first years. Mm-hmm. So it's alienating a lot of people, maybe. And but mainly I saw some stuff at work. Like there was this dairy commercial. Luckily, I was not working at it. And I saw this footage of a cow that was on this round plate. It was rotating. And the whole thing was like, there was a rig of cameras that were like shooting the cow, how the cow rotates, right?
So it was a real cow?
It was a real cow.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see the cow. This was the footage that came in.
Right.
And the cow was tied with some ropes to the floor. The cow looked super thin and dirty, and not the healthiest at all. And then with the CG, after like a couple of days, the cow looked like new.
Right.
So they clean the ropes, they make her look shiny and like beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and then, you know, then I was like, it of course calls my mind to see a cow on the screen as a vegan. And I asked the guy, what are you doing? And then he tells me like, oh, look. And then he's super proud, and I'm just telling him that's really sad.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I don't want to make him feel bad. But then I also, at this time, I kind of didn't really care to make him feel bad, maybe. Maybe I cared. I was mostly sad, and I thought, like, I don't want to be, like, what if they call me for something like this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this type of CG, but something related. And, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to try to maybe find some projects. I reach out to Animal Equality. I told them, I'm going to do a full animation for you at no cost. And it was for awareness stuff. And I tried, but I couldn't because I couldn't watch this the stuff without feeling, without my whole creativity was on the floor.
Right.
Because I was feeding myself with this sad material for too long in my first years. My creativity was actually on the floor. And I, so then I had to tell them, I'm sorry, guys, after 3 months, really embarrassed. I can't, like, it's just, I can't, I don't know how. Then I really have a lot of respect for anybody that is editing this sad footage that they show.
Right.
It's really sad. And So that was one of the things, this cow situation or the car commercials that people were modeling the interiors and making it sure that it looks like leather, that it looks, that the leather stands out.
Right.
And that was just happening next to me.
Right.
And I mean, luckily, because I was a loud activist or not wannabe activist, they wouldn't call me for this type of jobs. Mm-hmm. They knew that mm-hmm. maybe I would delete everything.
Right. Oh, I lost all the footage, guys. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. No, but but then I did the logo animation of Animal Equality. Sometimes they use it, sometimes they don't. I did it like pro bono, I thought a day. And then I also thought I can't really do free work because I need to pay my insurance, my bills and everything. It's not, it wouldn't be sustainable.
Yeah.
And then I went to a SIVA training of Melanie and Tobias. And I loved it. And, you know, at the end you go and say, "Hi, Melanie, I love this." And she knew me already from another time. So she knew I was doing these animations and videos. And she's like, "You're doing videos. We need somebody to do videos." And I was in heaven because I thought like, oh my God, like Melanie for me is my hero.
Right.
And she's asking me to do her videos of this. And I talked to Brett, he was working with her.
Yeah.
And Brett Thompson.
Yeah, I know him, yeah.
Yeah. And he, they briefed me in. It ended up happening. And I thought, I'm going to test this this was a test run for us. Exquisite didn't exist. It existed actually in name, but we were not really registered.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm just going to hire a couple of people and see how this goes. I'm still animating and I get somebody to help me with the animation because it got a lot, and somebody to do the illustrations and the editing, and it should be good. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we were 9 people.
Wow, 9 people?
And I was...
Just for this project?
Just for this project. Not at the same time.
Right.
But
all over, like, the process. Yeah.
All over the process. It started in December, ended in March. But I realized I shouldn't be doing the animation anymore because managing is a lot of work and making sure that the client is happy, making sure that the communication to each person is happening. And I was doing this and then starting my part at 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
Like, it was just too much.
Yeah.
And but I was overwhelmed at the end. Like, I don't know, this was really great, the feeling of doing something that actually the SIVA training helped me so much. So I was really happy to make this happen for them. And after that, I had another freelance job, a small tech company, and I thought, nah, I missed the other thing. That was cooler. I woke up happier.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah, it's just the purpose that you have is just very fulfilling. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, you just feel it like my heart was full. Mm-hmm.
And next week, we're going to talk all about Vexquisite Studio, how it works, how Roxy uses her job to do activism. And we're going to talk about a new project of hers that has nothing to do with animation and everything to do with food. So be sure to tune in next Monday. Until then, if you can't wait and if you want to know more, just follow the link in the show notes to Vexquisite Studio. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as always, let me know what you think and shoot over your questions and ideas to lars@veggieworld.de or to Instagram @larswalterofficial, and be sure to follow us @officialveggieworld. If you don't want to miss any episodes, subscribe to the podcast. And if you like, write us a review. Those are very, very welcome. And if you've heard any small noises in my intro and outro of this episode, that was cat breathing. I was not sure if you would hear it, but if you did, this is my cat Spielberg on my lap. He just refused to move, but I thought this is a vegan podcast. You'll understand. So thank you so much for tuning in and see you next Monday where Roxy Returns. Roxy Returns. That's a good film title. Until then, enjoy the week and let's save the world. Have fun. Bye. We'll be right back.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Wie viele Kaffees waren es heute schon? Kaffee spielt im Leben vieler eine sehr große Rolle. Und das nicht nur zu Hause oder im Café, sondern auch am Arbeitsplatz. Dafür gibt es Lavazza Professional. Kaffee am Arbeitsplatz, der genauso lecker schmeckt wie in eurem Lieblingscafé. Die perfekte Kaffeelösung für jede Art von Unternehmen. Klein, mittel, groß. Ihr habt auf jeden Fall einen Kaffee, der schmeckt. Die richtige Motivation für eure Arbeitstage. Alle Infos zu Lavazza Professional findet ihr auf lavazzapro.de mit allen Kaffeelösungen für euer Büro.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.